Well, take your Bibles out once again, turn to Habakkuk chapter 3 as we go through these three verses this morning, taking our lesson from God's Word. And before I plow further, I just want to say thank you to Mary and Claire for their beautiful music they started the service off with today. Wasn't it wonderful? And that choir, I tell you what, if they get any better, we're going to be up there next to the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. Amen. You got to have faith, don't you? Amen. Amen. And if we don't, it won't be because we don't try, will it, Mary? That's right. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Come what may, the just live by faith. We take our main lesson from the title from the scripture, Come what may, the just live by faith in the sovereign God of all history. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And, you know, really, at its essence, it is simple. It's just that simple. Living by faith. That's what we're called to do. Have you ever had what I call a nevertheless moment in prayer? If you're not sure what that is, just listen for just a moment and you'll know. If you haven't had one of those nevertheless moments in prayer, then you haven't prayed long enough. You need to keep praying because that's where our faith blossoms. As you recall, the Thursday night of Passion Week, what we call Maundy Thursday, Jesus ended up in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took three of his disciples with him, and there he told his disciples to stay at one place while he went a little bit further into the garden, and he knelt to pray. Agonizingly knelt to pray. He prayed with such agony that the scripture says that he perspired drops of blood. That's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, verse 44, if you want to look that up. And while there on his knees, Jesus said, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death, even to death. And then he went on a little bit further, and he fell to his face again, and he said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Listen, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And as you know, he went back to check on his disciples. They had fallen asleep. They were probably tired from the day, and I don't judge them too harshly on that. How many of us have fallen asleep when we were praying, right? And so he goes back into the garden alone again, and he says, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And then the scripture says he goes a third time and checks on his disciples, and there they are, still asleep. And then he goes back into the garden once again, and he says another time, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. Jesus had a nevertheless moment in the Garden of Gethsemane. He would have been great if the cup of the agonizing death on the cross could have not happened. But nevertheless, he was determined to obey the Father, even to death on the cross, even when his will was hard for his Son, Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, he decided that he would surrender to the Lord everything, not as I will, but as you will, Father. And I pull from that story in the New Testament because I believe that is the point at which we meet Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 3. This is the third time that Habakkuk is praying to the Lord, and I submit to you that he had a nevertheless moment right there. And that's what we're going to look at this morning in these verses in his third prayer. After that moment, his faith seems to blossom, and he's set free from fear, it appears. He will face the hard will of the Father with confident faith in the Father. And here's the thing. He prayed until he got in the groove of the Father's will, and that is where God wants all of his children to get into the groove of the Father's will. And this takes, I believe, for us to pray and pray and pray until we are willing to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, Father. And so that we'll say, come what may, We're going to live by faith in God. So Habakkuk brought his burdens to the Lord, as we've seen, and a number of times he picked those burdens back up, but it seems to me this third time that he prays to the Lord that he leaves his burdens with the Lord. And he did that in that nevertheless moment. He prayed and prayed and prayed until he got into the groove of the Father's will. Amen? I know that's where I want to live, and I am pretty confident that's where you guys want to live as well. And most of the time, we have to get there through the storm, not in the easy times of life. So just to review real quick, and I don't have a slide up there for this review, so I'm not going to go in detail on this, but just where have we come from? Because it's been a while since we've been in the back of the book of Habakkuk. And so what we've seen in points 1, 2, and now 5 is that we are to take our burdens to the Lord and leave them there. And what we learned in points 2 and 4 is that God is invisibly at work. He's invisibly at work all the time, accomplishing His will. And we must have enough faith to simply trust the way He's working. All right? That's the story of Habakkuk. That's the story that we've been studying here in this Old Testament prophecy. And so in chapter 3, this third time that Habakkuk goes to the Lord in prayer, this third and final time that's recorded in Scripture, we see in this prayer a prayer of surrender to the Lordship of the Father. And what we're going to see is three things. We're going to see the place of faith, we're going to see the proof of faith, and we're going to see the product of faith. All right? That's what we're going to look at this morning. So point number 5 in this outline of short sermons is that we're to bring our burdens to the Lord and have enough faith to leave them there. Now, when I read these verses a little earlier this morning, did you notice the change in Habakkuk's disposition? He's a different guy than he was when he first began to pray. He's brought his burdens to the Lord, and instead of taking them up again, he's learned to leave them with the Lord. He has accepted the fact that God is invisibly at work, and he has enough faith now in God to trust how God's invisibly at work. Habakkuk has had that nevertheless moment in prayer. And so here's the lesson. I'm going to repeat this lesson because this is the lesson we need to learn from Habakkuk the prophet. So listen. Prayer is not about getting what I want from God, but wanting what God wants to give me. Prayer is not about getting what I want from God, but it's about wanting what God wants to give me. You see, prayer is to align our will with the Father's will. That's what prayer is supposed to do. You remember in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says that pray that things on earth will happen as they do in heaven, right? That's the way we're supposed to pray, that we will have enough faith to say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but thy will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And let me say, to pray that way takes a deep, rich, and full faith in the Father. And so that's what we learn. The just live by faith, even when they're on their knees in prayer. And when we arrive at that destination, we've arrived at the place of a growing, deeper, and richer faith in God. And that's where He wants all of us to get to. You may think, well, I'm old. I'm as far along as God wants me to get, are you? You may think, well, I'm young. I've got other things to do. Well, what's more important, right? I'm sure I'm talking to people who have taken their burdens to the Lord and have taken them back up before. I'm sure I am. You're looking at one of them. And I can tell you that my faith is not there yet, and I believe yours isn't either. And that's why this sermon from God's Word is so important for God's people to hear today, because I think we're heading into a world that we've never have heard of before. And it's going to take faith to trust in God and that He's working invisibly for His purpose and for His will. And remember, what is prayer all about? Prayer is not about getting what I want from God, but about me wanting what God wants to give me. All right, it takes faith. All right, so point number one here is the place of faith. The place of faith, desolation in the land. Look at verse 17. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Well, once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I surrender to you this morning by faith all that there is of me to you. I pray, Lord Father God, that every person here will do the same thing, that we will surrender this time to you, our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes, that we could hear you speak through your word, that you would use this pastor as a conduit, a mouthpiece from you to your people, that we will want what you want us to have. Grow our faith, we pray, Father, no matter where you have to take us, no matter what we have to go through, no matter how long we must be there, we surrender to you that our faith would grow more full, more rich, and more trusting. In Jesus' name, amen. The place of faith, desolation in the land. The place where faith finally begins to blossom is not when, it's not where there are no challenges. I'm sure you know that. And so let me ask you this question. Are you in a challenging place at this point in your life? And if you are, you didn't get there by circumstance or by quinky dink, but by the sovereignty of God, you are in that challenging place. So what we see here in verse 17, the language of verse 17 tells us that for Habakkuk, he believes that things are going to get worse. And they did get worse, by the way. Things are going to get worse. There will be a desolation of the normal activities of life when God finally releases the full wrath of the Babylonians in Judah to bring God's judgment upon his people. Things will get worse. Desolation in the land. That's the place of faith. So here's Habakkuk's word in verse 17 reminds us that Judah will not be a place of peace, but a place of sorrow. It will not be a place of plenty, but a place of scarcity. Thank you. It will not be a place of pleasure, but a place of sadness. Habakkuk has not been a happy camper with the will of God, has he? If you've been listening, if you've been reading Habakkuk up to this point, you know he's not been a happy camper with the sovereign will of God. And honestly, aren't we the same way at times? We don't want what God wants, especially when it's a hard thing that God wants. And so let me remind you of his first prayer. He says, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. A desperate man of faith in a desperate place of faith, asking God, when, how long, when are you going to move? And I would love to say that Habakkuk liked the answer of God, but I don't think he really cared for how God answered his prayer in verses 5 through 11 of Habakkuk chapter 1. Habakkuk, in startled disbelief, and this is my interpretation of his of God's answer to Habakkuk, is, you're going to use who? You're going to do what? Disbelief, startled disbelief. Not because he wasn't a man of faith per se, but he wasn't exactly a man of faith where God needed him to get to. So Habakkuk prays again in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 12 through chapter 2, verse 1. And at, if you remember, he used the analogy of a fisherman comparing the Babylonians to how fishermen just scoop up fish in their nets and they eat them and they take whatever they want. And so in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 17, he prays, is he, meaning the Babylonians, compared to the fishermen, then to keep on emptying his net and mercilessly killing nations forever? God, is this really what you want to take place? And then God answered Habakkuk once again and reminds him in verse 4 of chapter 2 that, listen, the righteous shall live by faith. That's God's answer to Habakkuk. And also in that second answer to Habakkuk's prayer, God reminds Habakkuk that divine judgment will be in store for the Babylonians. You remember the five woes that God's going to bring against the Babylonians. So justice, God's justice will prevail against this evil. It's just in his timing it will. And then to wrap that answer up in verse 20 of chapter 2, God reminds Habakkuk that he's working his will sovereignly and visibly amongst the nations of the earth. And your job is to have enough faith to worship me and not worry. That's his answer to Habakkuk in that second prayer. And so the place of faith for Habakkuk wasn't a change in the disastrous consequences that God had foretold that was going to take place. Did you hear what I just said, church family? Oftentimes, we pray for a change in circumstance when God's desire is not for circumstances to change, but for our faith to grow stronger and change in that direction. You see, the place of faith is in times of desolation and destruction, when there's desolation in the land. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like that either. Right? Do you? Does the idea of a famine in the land just make you just warm and fuzzy all over? No. And yet, that's the place of faith. That's the place where faith needs to get to, where no matter what the circumstances, as we see here, the circumstances of Habakkuk's life were dreadful, and God wasn't going to change that. God was not going to change that. And so Habakkuk realizes that, and he surrenders to the hard, harsh direction that God was going to take his people at the hands of these callous Babylonians. And he says this verse. You can hear the capitulation in his tone and tenor, where he says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fell, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. And at the end of that verse, you can put this, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And so Habakkuk is talking famine in the land, a place of desolation. And that's a hard, harsh place to be, but it's a place where faith can grow. Habakkuk has had a nevertheless moment in his life. He's leaving his burdens with the Lord. He's decided in his heart of hearts, come what may, he's going to live by faith in God. And that's the place that each one of God's children needs to reach. Are you there yet? Are you there? That's where we need to get to. And oftentimes that is in a place, in a desolate place. But in the meantime, we need to resolve in our own hearts that we're going to trust in the Lord, because whatever happens, the just live by faith. In the ancient times, a box on the ear, not a literal box, but a pop on the ear given by a master to a slave meant liberty. Little would the freedman care how hard the blow was. By a stroke from the sword of the warrior, what was knighted by his monarch. And it was a small matter that the new made knight had a heavy-handed monarch. He could care less. One person wrote this: when the Lord intends to lift his servants into a higher stage of spiritual life, he frequently sends them a severe trial. He makes his Jacobs to be prevailing princes, but he confers the honor after a night of wrestling and accompanies it with a shrunken sinew. Be it so, who among us would wish to be deprived of the trials if they are the necessary attendants of spiritual advancement? We need to welcome them, family, as the gift that they are. Oswald Chambers, just to close this point out, said these words: there are some things only learned in a fiery furnace. So, the place of faith, desolation in the land. Now, next thing we see is the proof of faith. The proof of faith, point number B here. The proof of faith is this: delight in the Lord. Look at verse 18 with me. Now, remember what we just read, verse 17, right? Famine in the land. Nevertheless, here's what he says: yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. He's at a new place, is he not? A new place in his walk of faith. So verse 17 reminds us of God's desolation through the Babylonians for Judah. That was just a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when it's going to take place. And it could very well cause this famine in the land. God placed Habakkuk in this desolate place. And from verse 17, we see his faith has grown and is growing since we first met him in Habakkuk chapter 1. And in verse 18, he gives us the proof of his growing faith in God. He will delight in the Lord no matter what God-ordained disaster comes to Judah. He will delight in the Lord. That takes faith. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. This is a completely new man, is it not? It's a completely new prophet. And what we've heard from Habakkuk's earlier prayers is just that proves it is. You see, Habakkuk has come a long way on his spiritual journey of faith. He's moved from complaint to contentment. He's moved from anxiousness to awe-inspired. He's moved from disturbed to delighted. He is a new man. He is a changed man. That's what he is, a changed man. And I guarantee if you get on that train of faith, you'll be a changed believer as well. Where you had no delight, where you were only disturbed, that will turn into joy and rejoicing. Amen? Amen. And that's not just good on Sundays. That's good every day of the week, is it not? 365 days a year. No matter what takes place, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Though there's a famine in the land, I will rejoice in the Lord. No matter what he loses, he declares, I will take joy in the God of my salvation. And so what we are seeing here is the proof of Habakkuk's faith on display. And what we're supposed to take from that is this is what we're supposed to look like too. This is what the church is supposed to be like. That in the place of desolation where there is should be faith, the proof of that faith is that we can delight in the God who brings the desolation to us. That's the place of faith. Come what may, famine, destruction, violence, come what may, Habakkuk would rejoice and be joyful in God. And let me tell you, that's a nevertheless moment. That's a freeing moment. And only people of faith in God will rejoice in Him. Only they can rejoice and take joy in Him when He brings bitter sorrow into our lives. That's it. How do we respond? In joy and delight. Dr. Thomas writes, "The prophet has come to a place of joy because his God has come to him. God has opened up Habakkuk, not to faith, as the prophet already believed as God, but to a fuller, richer faith. Habakkuk trusted the Lord only to discover a deeper trust in and through suffering and prayer. He discovered what it is to walk by faith and not by sight. The touch of God upon his life has brought him unspeakable joy." Did you hear that last tape? Do you want unspeakable joy? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah? Right? No. No? Yeah. This is maybe, you know, where it's like this and like this. You're like, "I'm not sure, Pastor. I don't want a famine in the land," right? Well, the place to unspeakable joy is unwavering faith in the sovereign God of all creation. That's where it's at. It's when you pray, "Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done." It's when we pray not to get what we want, but to want what God wants to give us. That is the place of unspeakable joy. Are you scared to go there? I will admit, I'm a little timid. But isn't that what going there is all about? So that timidness is not there? So that God can drop us off at the gates of hell and we'll storm the gates? With a warrior faith. That's where He wants us to get. I've got work to do. How about you? I've got work to do. Unspeakable joy. There is unspeakable joy, as someone said, for God's people to possess. But first we must learn to walk by faith in God. You know, the Bible tells us to delight yourself in the Lord. The Bible also says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." And when we learn to wholeheartedly trust in the Lord, where great gain comes from the credit of contentment in our spiritual bank accounts, when we can delight in the Lord because what we want is what He wants, and what when we want what He wants, He gives it to us. That's a place of faith, a faith that God produces in the fire. But it's a faith that can transcend all earthly circumstances. And that proves that we literally have faith in God. A.M. Overton writes, "My father's way may twist and turn, my heart may throb and ache, but in my soul I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. My cherished plans may go astray, my hopes may fade away, but still I'll trust my Lord to lead, for he doth know the way. Though night be dark and it may seem that day will never break, I'll pin my faith, my all in him. He maketh no mistake. There's so much now I cannot see. My eyesight's far too dim. But come what may, I'll simply trust and leave it all to him. For by and by the mist will lift, and plain it all he'll make through all the way, though dark to me, he made not one mistake. Come what may, the just live by faith, and the proof of that is that they delight in the Lord." Point number three, point C rather, the product of faith, deliverance and loss. This is a wonderful truth, church family, a wonderful truth. And don't stop listening at this point. I believe this will revive the soul if it had been revived already. So the product of faith is deliverance in the loss, deliverance in the loss. Verse 19 says this, God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like hinds. He makes me tread on my high places. Now, I want to make this point abundantly clear. When I write deliverance in the loss, in the context of Habakkuk, it's not deliverance from the storm, but it's deliverance through the storm. All right? Through the storm. Remember, God's not going to take these harsh circumstances away from Habakkuk, but God's going to see him through them. And so Habakkuk knows that he's going to suffer loss as a part of God's judgment, but he knows God, who is his strength, will deliver him through the loss. Whatever the loss may be, whatever that is, God has strength to get him through that. And so here's my point. Sometimes God saves his people from the storm, and sometimes God saves his people through the storm. So you say, Lord, why is this happening to me like Habakkuk? Well, God's saving you. It's not from it, but through it. Through it. And it takes great faith to be saved through the storm rather than from the storm. So the product of faith, that is the result of faith, walking by faith, is deliverance in loss. In other words, God will save those who live by faith. He will deliver them in the loss. Look at what Habakkuk writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, God the Lord is my strength. In Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but what? We trust in the name of the Lord our God. The name speaks of who the God is. We trust in that God. You see, some people trust in the wrong things. Habakkuk is saying here, I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm completely trusting in the Lord because God is my strength. In and of himself, Habakkuk admits he's weak, he's lowly, he's puny, he's small, and he's not trusting in his own strength, right? He's trusting in God's strength to get him through. And folks, sometimes that's all we have. That's all we have. And let me tell you, that's enough. Amen? Can somebody give me an amen? Thank you. That is enough. So God has this infinite supply of omnipotent strength. Omnipotent supply. He doesn't have to tap into the reserves. He's just full of strength all the time. It never waxes. It never wanes. It never deteriorates. It never rusts. His strength is full on all the time. And what he delights in is when his people take faith in him for his strength, and that's when he supplies that strength to his people. So God's strength is sufficient to see us through the direst of circumstances. Let me say that one more time. God's strength is sufficient to see us through the direst of circumstances. That's shouting ground. That's hallelujah. That's praise the Lord. My question is, do you believe it? Do you believe in that God? That's the question. Habakkuk did. God's people have all throughout the ages, because they knew that when their strength was gone, his was just starting to be tapped. And his strength is sufficient. It is omnipotent. It is infinite. And by his strength, we're delivered. And that's what Habakkuk means with this poetic comparison between a deer and God's people. Look with me at the rest of verse 19. He makes my feet like the hinds. He makes me tread on my high places. Now, your translation, as well as the ESV, has deer instead of hind, but the Hebrew is feminine plural. So a female deer is a hind, okay? So I think a better translation would be the specific hind rather than the generic deer. Now, I had to look that up a little bit, and I had to see what the big deal was, and this is what I learned. I'm quoting someone else. This is what I learned. A hind is a female deer that can place her back feet exactly where her front feet step. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. Not all animals can do it. So they can place their front feet where their back feet were within inches. Okay? So in times of danger, what does that do? Well, she is able to run fast and securely. Goes on to say, she is able to scale unusually high and difficult terrain to elude predators. She is able to run with abandonment and not fear. Do you see the comparison here? This is language of deliverance. Deliverance. Just as a deer escapes her prey in the high places, the rocky high places where her prey cannot go, so God lifts his people's feet to those places of deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And that's what Habakkuk is driving at. That's where his faith is taking him. And it's a wonderful picture of this deliverance. Even though loss is coming, he will be delivered. And like that hind, God will securely help the faithful scale the difficult terrain to elude their enemy, whoever that or whatever that enemy may be. And this is a product of trusting faith. God gives deliverance from loss. Habakkuk's word is also good for us today, church family. Jesus said these words, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace." In Christ we have peace, just as Habakkuk had peace in God. And then he goes on to say, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. And so Jesus is simply telling the church, sometimes deliverance comes on the far side of disaster, but God eventually delivers his faithful people. Now remember, church family, in the worst of circumstances, God's people can live with sure-footed confidence in the strength of the Lord. Come what may, the just, God's people, live by faith with this unspeakable joy. Amen? We don't survive, we thrive. So let me close today, real quick. Bring your burdens to the Lord and have faith enough to leave them there. We've learned that the place of faith is often when there's desolation in the land. The proof of faith is delight in the Lord, and the product of faith is deliverance in the loss. And so come what may, the just live by faith in the sovereign God of all history. I've quoted William Cowper before, but I've found a poem that William Cowper wrote that was inspired from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, and I want to share it with you. Will you listen? Let me share it with you. It's still early. It's still early. You're like, let me have faith, Lord. Let me have faith. These are wonderful words inspired from Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. The Christian, while he sings, it is the Lord who rises with healing on his wings. When comforts are declining, he grants the soul again a season of clear shining to cheer it after rain. In holy contemplation, we sweetly then pursue the theme of God's salvation. I find it ever new. Set free from present sorrow, we cheerfully can say, even let the unknown tomorrow bring with it what it may. It can bring with it nothing, but he will bear us through, who gives the lilies clothing, would clothe his people too. Beneath the spreading heavens, no creature but is fed, and he who feeds the ravens will give his children bread. Though vine nor fig tree neither, their wonted fruit shall bear, though all the field should wither, nor flocks nor herds be there, yet God the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice, for while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice. I sure couldn't have said it any better. What a way to wrap up our study of Habakkuk with these wonderful words of faith. A place where God wants all of his children to get to. And oftentimes we have to get there through the struggle, not save from it. And we just simply have to pray. Right? We have to pray. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. God, help me not to ask for what I want, but help me instead to ask for what you want me to want. And then help me to rejoice and delight, no matter what the circumstance, because you're my strength, and you will deliver me as you see fit. And that takes faith, church family. Faith. Do you need that kind of faith? Oh, yeah. Do you want it? Are you willing to go where God wants you to go so that you can have it? Might not be a good place or a nice place, not be a place you choose to go to. But it'll be the place God wants you to go. And in the end, you'll, like Habakkuk, have a far richer, deeper faith in God. Amen. First, it starts with surrender. If you've never surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you have to start there. You've got to put your faith in Jesus and repent of your sins and trust Him for salvation. And that's the starting point of this faith journey. And so this morning, if there's someone here that needs to place their faith in Jesus Christ for the very first time, please don't hesitate. Come forward and make that public profession of faith. But for many of us, we're already believers, aren't we? But maybe we're not exactly where God wants us to be. And that takes faith too. Use the podium here as your starting line, if that's what you want to do. Use the pew as your starting line. But get started. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the truths of your word. They are wonderful, they're beautiful, they're uplifting, they're life-changing. And I just thank you for letting us hear the truth of your word today. And I am confident that you are using it to bring about your sovereign will in the life of your people. Lord, I know oftentimes we have short memories, but help us to remember the lessons we've learned in Habakkuk. They are needed. They're needed in this day and this time, just as it was in Habakkuk's day and time. They're needed today because we're facing uncertain things with a certainty of having an all-sufficient God. So help us to trust you, for the Scriptures teach us the just live by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.